Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. As always, it is a pleasure seeing you coming to worship with us here at Wayne Church. I would like you to know that we love you. Anytime that I see you, I love you more and more. Thank you for your presence. As we are celebrating a very touchy, a very American holidays, but I mean, they do Thanksgiving almost everywhere. But this year, today, where I am standing here, you see my voice changes. My voice changes. Seeing all those children that I cuddled in my hands here, I would never think that I would live a day like that, where all my children are together. Father, I thank you so much. Father, I thank you for the blessings of those beautiful children, please. I can't even remember their names. I can't even recognize them. Some of them are grow so big. Father, please continue to bless our children around the world. It is a day to thank the Lord for all the blessings that we have received. But what is more important, what is more loving than the people that God has created and then put them into our hearts? My heart is full. I can't breathe. I love you, and I will always love you. My topic this morning is not my topic. The topic that God has chosen. Can everybody hear me well? God has chosen. It's prayer. For 3 days, I fought. I went to change the topic. I could not. I could not. I tried, but it's not worked. Finally, I said, Lord, when the gentleman called me the night before last night, for the program, I said, I have to concede. I have to accept. Because prayer, it's just big. It's just a topic that human beings shouldn't be talking about. Because nobody can understand how come the Lord himself, the God, the creator of the universe, came on earth and became one like us. We can't understand it, but we need to accept it and love it and cherish it, because this is a mystery. I cannot explain it to you. You cannot explain it to me. And yet, prayer is a sweet topic. Agree? No? No? I'll prove you that. Can you take the hymnal? And look, I can't tell you the number, but look, it says sweet hour of prayer. That's the next. So sweet hour of prayer. 478. Can we sing at least one stanza? Please, thank you. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Yes, please. The whole church. Sweet, because Jesus teaches us how to pray. Remember then when the apostle, they said, Master, teach us how to pray. And Jesus taught them how to pray. And now, here, each one of you here knows how to pray. Agreed? True? It is true. Each one of you here. But at the same time, prayer can be challenging in our lives. Many people pray when they feel like praying. Sometimes they have no idea what to pray for, what they are praying for. They feel like praying. It's not something concrete. It's not feeling that, as we just sing, sweet hour of prayer. I don't think prayer is sweet for everybody. But for those who worship the Lord, those who knows that they believe in God, they know that prayer is sweet because Jesus taught us to pray. Prayer is the answer to all our problems. All the trials we pack on our back, prayer is the solution. But unfortunately, we are looking at the places where we shouldn't be looking. We are looking on the left, on the right, and who can help? The only person that can help is Jesus Christ. He's Jesus Christ, only Jesus. And he's always there. He's always there. That's the reason why we need to pray. It doesn't matter what our circumstance is, how our problems are. We need to pray. Christian needs to pray. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. When we don't pray, there is no sweetness in us. We are bitter because we are not happy for the way life is. But why did it seem that God is not answering our prayers? Sometimes we feel, have you ever felt that at times? Is it me, only me? Is anybody here sometimes feel that our prayers are not being answered? And then we get mad, right? Some of us get mad. I have to tell the truth. It happened to me sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. Have you ever found yourself in desperation? In a situation where you prayed, you said, Father, come and help me. And it's looked like God is not moving. It's not moving. He's not moving. And yet, he's asking us to pray. Like it or not, pray when you are happy. Pray when you are unhappy. Pray. God is good. He's there. One thing I would like for us to remember is that God told us in the Bible sometimes the reason our prayers are not being answered. Please, can somebody search for John 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. And please read it. Clear and simple. Clear and simple. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you wish. It will be added unto you. Who can say that? Only God. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus said, cast all your care upon me. Cast all your care upon God, because he cares for you. Let God decide what is good for you. Not you. Not your mother. Not your friend. Let God decide what is good for you. And when God decides what is good for you, do not discuss it with nobody. It's only you, between you and God. It's only your business and God's business. Please, I invite you to open up your Bibles in Daniel chapter 9, verses 3, verses 4, verse 4, verse 5, and later on, verse 18 and 19. For now, let's begin with Daniel 9, verse 3. Anybody found it? Three, four, please.
So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes.
Okay. Verse four, please.
I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments.
Five. Thank you so much. In verse 3, he said, I set my face to the Lord God. I seek it by prayer and supplication, with fasting, with sackcloth. Do we know what that means? Sackcloth? Have you ever seen somebody dressed in sack? In a sackcloth. Cloth. And ashes. What does that mean to us? Yes. Humble ourselves. Jesus asked us to come before him in supplications, in humility, in trust, in belief, and ask what we need, and it'll be added unto us. Not your will, not your way. God's will, God's way prevails. And if you can read verse 18, please. The same book. Amen. Amen. There is nothing in us to attract the Lord. Nothing in us. When God says left, we go right. When we finally go to where God wants us to go, then we turn around. We say, no. You know, the herb is greener on the other side. God wouldn't send me here. Because if it were God sent me here, the things that are happening to me would never happen. So let me try to go somewhere else, someplace else. But you know what? Until we come to God fully, until we trust in the Lord fully, until we do exactly as God wants us to do, what did he say? He said, ask. He said, ask. He said, seek it in prayer. But we want our way. But God is a God of great mercy. God is a God of love who loves his children. God is a God who forgives. God is a God who never forgets his own. He told us straight, no matter what is going on around you, be strong. I am here. I am here. I will protect you. I will cradle you. I will be with you until the end. In the meantime, we have something to do. What the psalmist said, I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and keep his commitment. Clear as coconut. This is what God asks us to do. And in verse 18, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolation. This in this city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteousness, but because of thy great mercy. God is merciful, and God's mercy endures forever. Please bear with me. Throughout the book of Daniel, we find Daniel praying. In Daniel chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, Daniel prayed for his companion. Daniel prayed for God's mercy. Instead of complaining, when threatened with execution, Daniel prayed. Again, in chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel and faced with hungry lions, he prayed not once, not twice. He prayed three times a day. How many times did you pray a day? I know you don't have time. You have to work. You have a family to take care of. You have your work. You don't have time. But please remember, nothing can replace our relationship with Jesus. And the only way to keep a relationship is through communication. It's through communication. Otherwise, the relationship will die. Again, in chapter 6, verse 10, we see how Daniel intercede, talk to Nebuchadnezzar, but he ended up being in the lion den. But do you think he was afraid? He was not. You know what God could have done? God could have taken him, not even let Nebuchadnezzar think of the lion then. But God went there with him. He accompanies Daniel in the lion den. They went ahead together. They came out together. Sometimes God does not take away the shade we have in our body. Sometimes God does not take away the problems. You know what he did? He come and stay with us until everything is solved. Because staying with you, you know that the presence of the Lord is always with his children. Those who love him, those who believe in him, those who trust him, even those who don't care at all. Look at Lucifer. Lucifer don't care at all. But you know God cares. God could have erased him. No. It doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter how bad we are. It doesn't matter how precious we are. In the eyes of the world or not, you are precious in God's eye. And he's there for you. He wants you to know that. Let's continue. Daniel 9, verse 17 and 19. Please, anybody who found it, please read it for me, please.
Now therefore, our God, hear the
Mm-hmm. Yes, please. 18:19. Amen. Amen. If we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Three simple things God asks us to do. Got it?
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land.
If my people, which I call by my name, shall do what?
Humble themselves
and do what? Seek prayer, seek my face, right? And what would happen? Could it be easy? Easier than that? That's all. Everything is to our benefit. But the problem is, who are God's people? Who are they? Who are the God's people? Speak to me, please. Pardon me? Because we study. I'm studying with you. Who are God's people? We are God's people. Everybody, you believe in God. You trust in God. You are God's people. But those who don't trust in the Lord, they are not his people. No, they are not his people. They are his enemies. Therefore, we should treat them as enemies. Yes? Yes, because you know what? Little by little, they will get you. You'll follow them. And then you'll be the same like them. God says that. They are people we shouldn't be in friendship with them. We shouldn't be. If you know somebody is a killer, a murderer, would you take your child and then just give that child to that guy or that girl and say that you can do whatever you want with it, with him or her? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that. Because these things, God's children don't do that. They don't kill. Period. Let's go back again. God is talking to his people. He said, if my people, which I call by my name, you are God's child, you bear God's name, you work your life according to God's will. Not according to anybody else or anything else. According to God's will. And this is what God asked us to do. What did he say we do? If my people, which I call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And what will God do? You will hear them. Right? Forgive their sins. And what? Heal their land. This is a promise. God said to us, you do this, I do that. You have to keep his word. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, do exactly as I told you. We can always go back and ask God to forgive us. He will. He's a forgiving God. He loves his children. And he knows that we are living in a world which is not offering us too many things that are good. But God is there. And God is telling us, once we do what God asks us to do, there is no way we can go wrong. Everybody else could be wrong around us, but we cannot go wrong when we do God's will. And this is exactly what Daniel, the prophet Daniel, did. Daniel took prayer seriously. Yes, he did. In Psalm 55, verse 7, King David says, I will pray morning, noon, and evening, pleading aloud with my Lord, and he will hear me. Pleading aloud with my Lord, and he will hear me. If you don't know God, you cannot plead with God. You cannot. This is the prophet is talking here. Have you ever heard of anyone say that they cannot pray unless they feel it? You know? The thing is, they need to pray turn into feelings. There are many things that we can compare. We can describe the words feeling, but we're not going to go there. Let us back to Daniel, chapter 10. Begin with verse 2. Daniel chapter 10, please.
In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither any flesh, nor wine, nor milk. Neither did I anoint myself at all. So 3 whole weeks was fulfilled.
3 whole weeks he was fasting. Anytime we meet with Daniel, he is fasting. He is praying. That was his life. And that should be the Christian life. We have no time. We shouldn't have no time for television. We shouldn't have no time for radio. Our duty is to praise the Lord, is to pray. This is our duty. We have so many troubles, so many problems in this world anymore. We don't know where to go anymore. We don't know who to ask anymore. But we, the people of God, we know that God is here. He is present. He is in control. Nothing could happen that he didn't see. Nothing they can do to you that God didn't see. He's there. He's your protector. God has been with Daniel. He protected him. He had cared for him. And he's care for you as well. God is protecting each one of us here. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. God has a work for us to do. And until we go onto our knees like Daniel, God will not disclose to you the work that he has for us. Because God cannot see when his children are not following his command. He cannot see that. The same way if we do that to our parents, it's disrespectful. The same way, disrespectful to the Lord also. But God loves us too much to get rid of us. I see many mothers and fathers here. Let's say that you have a couple of children, and one of them is very sick. Day and night, that child is suffering. What would you do? What would you do with that child? Would you ever think that you want to take that child and, well, give it to someone else to take care of him or her? Would you go ahead and crying say, I don't know what to do with the child. I cannot take care of that child. I don't want that child anymore. So can somebody please take that child or bring it to the hospital, let the hospital take care of it? What would you do? You didn't sleep Monday. You expected to sleep Tuesday. You couldn't. You didn't sleep Wednesday. What would you do with that child? Speak to me, mothers, please. Yes, you bring it to the doctor, times and times. Pray? That's a good option. That's a good option. But somebody said something here. Yes, you take care of the child, but it's still the same. You know what would you do? You can never get rid of that child. Why? Okay, I hear because it's your child. Because your love for that child. We are in the same predicament with God. Because God loves us, because we are his children, he cannot get rid of us. You know what God did? He's taking care of us. He cares for us. God go all the miles for us, even to give his son to die for us. Who would do that? How many people do you know that give a child to die for a president? Not even a lay person, but okay. How many? None. Nada. Zip. God loves us so much. The only child. He gave it to be killed. And who killed him? Who killed the child? Us. We did. Until now, even after what we did to God's child, he is here to take care of us. But have we changed? No. We're not. But God is changeless. God never changes. He keeps his promise. What God said he will do, he will do it. It doesn't matter what happened. And that's exactly the kind of children God wants to have. That's exactly the kind of people God wants us to be. Be like your Father in heaven. Love, compassion, patience, kindness. But to get to these degrees, they just don't come from heaven. We have to cultivate them. How we cultivate them? Through prayer, through supplication. Jesus prayed. Remember? Before he chose his 12 apostles, he prays. He went to the mountain and lie down there for the whole night. He prays. He wanted the approval of his Father. Can God approve our works? I don't think so. Not to any. I am not trying to show you how bad we are, me and you. But together, we are seeing the work that God has been doing in us. And there is not much time left. There is not much time left. Today could be the last time you hear those words. Who knows? I don't know. But you know one thing. God wants us to be ready. Because God is coming to get a people who is ready. Because no rebellious people can enter the heaven. We need to understand God's word. We need to pray. Pray, my friend. Pray, my sisters. We need to pray. Jesus lived through prayer. And we should be following Jesus' footsteps. If you love me, keep my commandment. If you love me, love your brothers and sisters. If you love me, do not retaliate. If you love me, do as I do. Not your will, but mine. Don't try to delete what I have written here, because your name is in my your name is in my hands, and nobody can erase it. God is everlasting. So God loves us with an everlasting love. God doesn't want none of his children to perish, but he wants us to have eternal life. And that's exactly what his building is preparing for us. Don't listen to anybody who told you that. You are too bad. God doesn't want you. As long as you recognize that God is all-powerful, as long as you recognize that, what God says he meant, what he said he will do, he do it. Jesus came for a people who were not looking for God. When Jesus came, they were not looking for God. They were looking for having good time. But unfortunately, it cost them. Because so many people who could have been God's children this day chose another route. But we cannot do anything for them. But we can ask the Lord to help us. As long as we're here, ask the Lord to help us. Let us go back to prayer. Prayer is very important. It's a very important part of our lives. If you don't pray, you're not alive. Because when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do, you want to take your car to go. But do you have a fuel in your car? If you don't have fuel in your car, you cannot drive. That's the same thing. If we don't pray, even if you look alive, but you are not. Because God lives on prayer. He prays day and night. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to pray for one another. Pray for our president. Pray for the country. Pray for those sick in the hospital. Go visit them. Pray for the people that you see in the street. Ask if they need your help. Because God wants us to help one another. That's why he made so many people on the earth. We cannot say that I have a need and there is nobody that can help me. Everybody can help you. But they have to be willing. They have to be willing. We need to be humble. We need to be faithful, loving, compassionate. Remember that God is still in control. And we belong to God. I am going to tell you a short story about a woman and a son. It's a true story. The woman's name is Anna. The son's name is Carlos. Carlos, since the day that he was born, his mother and his father are praying for Carlos to be a good Christian. Carlos was 12 years old. He was okay in the house. But as he gets further in his teenage years, Carlos leave the house. He became so bad, he couldn't stay with the parents anymore. Even he tried to kill one of them. The mother continued to do what she was doing. At one time, she found a person, and as she was talking to that person desperately, thinking that she can find help, after she took her life away, and the person said to her, "Go your way, madam. The Lord will help you." She went her way, doing what she knows best to do, what she's been doing all the time, praying. She went away, and she started to pray again, continues to pray. One day, Carlos met a pastor. And as they were talking, their conversation, he explained to him that the kind of person that he is right now is not what his parent expected for him. The pastor studied the Bible with him. He agreed. Carlos got baptized because he couldn't get the mother. He wanted the mother to be there. He couldn't. He wrote a letter and he sent it to someone he knows probably who could see the mother. When the mother heard that, Carlos was baptized. I can't express how happy she was. And I think all of us could relate to that. Having a child that was a murderer at 13 years old, and 20 years old, that child is baptized, that found the Lord, he would be very happy. Carlos wrote some words. He said to the mother, "Because of your unceasing prayer life, I am who I am today. I am Carlos, your son, but not the one that you know. Continue in your prayer life." And that was the end of it. This mother prayed before conception. He kept on praying after conception. Went through the infantry years. Now, the boy was 20 years old. She still kept on praying. My friends, my family, are you praying for your daughter? Are you praying for your son? You don't know where he or she is at this moment. Are you praying for your niece, your nephew? Charity begins at home. Are you praying for your sisters and your brothers? Do you know a Carlos? Or do you have one in your life? Whatever the case is, find a Carlos today. And do the same thing the pastor did. Offer Bible study. He doesn't need any money. All that people need is Jesus. Our first and foremost need is the Lord. And do you know what? The Lord needs you too. That's the reason why he created you. He said that you are mine. I have your name written in the palm of my hands. Wherever we go, we will meet the Lord. Trust me. There is no hiding place. And there is only one God. So whoever acted like God, you know that it's not God. My friend, it's time for you to go home. First of all, you're going to eat with us downstairs. I know that. I cannot prove it. But believe in God, not in what I'm going to say. I cannot prove it, but believe in God. I love you. And God loves you. We're not ready to go yet. Remember, what was the last thing I said before I said I love you? Quiz time. Today is a day of thanksgiving. What is more precious than the people that God put into our hearts, into our lives? Sometimes it's easy to say goodbye, but sometimes it's not. Most of the time, it's not. And none of the time, it's not. It's not easy to say goodbye. We know that. Elizabeth and Winston, they are not only part of that church, they are the church, like we all are. And it is a little bit sad that knowing that, contemplating that, in a few days, we will say goodbye to them. Wait, but you know, God has a special work for you. God has a work, your work here is terminated. But God has a work for you. Now you need more strength. Because when you started the work here, you were young, you were strong. But now, what was that? Hold on, no, we're not talking about, it's not where we are right now. It's not where we are right now. But now, the same thing that God says to Joshua, I think it's Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, see to, if you can get it. Be strong and of good courage. I am with you the same way I was with Moses, the same way I was with Aaron. You'll find out, you can't know here right now. But as time passes, you'll see that God knows everything. God is wonderful. God is marvelous. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God knows everything. Now you can't know, but later on, by and by, you'll see why. You'll see the reason. I was never wanted to leave my country. I always wanted to know why people leave their country. But when I came here, in my country, I was outstated. I was thrown out by my own. But here, not only that, I have people who love me and who accept me for who I am. And when I said that, I was thrown out because I was Catholic. I was a nun. And it was a disgrace for my family that I become a Seventh-day Adventist. I was badly treated. I was badly treated. Even when I came here, I had to flee the house. But you know, I didn't understand anything at that time. My faith was innocent. But now I understand. Now I understand. I see why. One day my father told me, since you are a Seventh-day Adventist, you cannot live with us in this house. I couldn't understand it at that time, but now I understand. And the more I live, the more I see the reason. It goes to all of us here. You are sitting here today. You don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. Only God knows. What you need to do is to make the best out of it. It doesn't matter where you are. Make the best out of it. Because God is here and God is with you. When God is with you, you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to be afraid of. I think I have to let you go now. I think I need to let you go. But before I go, prayer is still the answer. That's the only answer. Nobody can give you nothing better than that. Prayer. And Winston, Elizabeth, I'm speaking. Look at me. She is trying to distract me. Look at me. Elizabeth, that's what we are going to do for you. You know what? Prayer. That's what we are going to do. At this time, what I would like to say, when you go home, make your home into a home of prayer. This church here is a church of prayer. If you need prayer, don't go anywhere else. Come to this church here. If you cannot come, you'll find numbers all over in the internet. I am not internet savvy. I cannot give you any information. Don't ask me. Whatever is pertaining to prayer, you come to Wayne Church. That's what we do. And if there is anybody here who wants to be instructed to be baptized, who wants to be rebaptized, who needs to be rebaptized, we have Bible class here. We invite you. Come. If you want to change by profession of faith, we have this here too. We are well equipped. And we praise the Lord because only God can equip us the way we are. Never forget when church. Please, again, remember, wherever you go, make it a place of prayer. May the Lord guide you. May the Lord protect you, as he's been doing. And if anybody has anything, any sickness, any problems, any pains you would like to have prayer for, we have a group of prayer warriors here. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kindness. Remember, we are going to have a dinner downstairs. May the Lord richly bless you. Remember, your house is going to be a house of prayer, apart from today. God bless you.